opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A guy that I don't think ever had someone counseling him on his fashion or any type of person he hired on his staff to tell him what to wear is on the Rood guest hotline right now. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Longtime friend of the program, Jason Wirth, is back on Grant and Danny. J-Dub, did you ever pay anyone to tell you what to wear after games leaving the clubhouse?
No, but I'm slowly becoming a WNBA fan.
You know what?
That's a pivot.
That works. I mean, they walk in and, you know, we see like the NBA, the WNBA, what are they wearing and how that, you know, is going to affect their fandom. I mean, that's a thing though. I'm watching this quarterback show, Worth, and Joe Burrow, one of the most popular quarterbacks in America, one of the best athletes we have going right now, has a full-time fashion guy that, like, lays out outfits for him for the week and discusses his looks. I can't believe
yeah.
it.
You know, I came from the school of if you look good, you play good. And, I mean, I looked like four hits every day. So what are you going to say?
And sometimes, you got those four hits. What a week for the Nationals.
Sometimes it rains, you know. Sometimes it rains.
You were brought to D.C. by Mike Rizzo. He was negotiating with your agents. He was the one that brought you to the city, and you know the Learners so well. What do you make of this week and this decision? He'd been here for 19 years, 20 baseball seasons, essentially the entire yeah. time the team had been.
What happened? I've been in the woods.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Like you said, 19 years is a long time, a hell of a run, World Series title. When I came to Washington, we were fresh off 200 lost seasons. Mike was of the mind that things were going to turn around. And they did. I think that, you know, when I met with the Learners, Mark and Ted, the idea was to turn this team into a winning franchise. And I believe that, they accomplished that. Now, We've kind of since moved on past the winning seasons and into more of a rebuild. But I wasn't part of that. I've been removed from the sport, and I'm doing other things now. I don't have to worry about going 0-for-4 and swinging at sliders in the dirt. I gotta worry about post times and who's running where and what these horses are doing, which in my mind is a much better option.
What were those recruiting pitches like? Right, because you had options coming off of it heading to free agency. You could have gone and signed a lot of places. What were those pitch meetings like with Rizzo, and how did he sell you on his vision?
Well, I mean, I think the big thing was that they wanted to turn the corner. They were serious about winning. Ted Lerner is he's a winner. He was he won in life and. And he took over. I don't want to say a bad situation, but I mean, looking back, it wasn't the best. You know, the MLB had done them no favors with the way they were running the organization. And when they took it over, it was it was tough, right? It was a tough thing to walk into. So the sell was that they were serious about winning. They were, wanted to bring in guys that could help that along. And my deal was pretty much done with Boston. I was going to Boston. My grandpa played in Boston. My mom grew up in Boston. I always wanted to be a Red Sox. And, Philly was out, and we had a lot of conversations with the Red Sox. But at the end of the day, the Nats came in. They offered me they guaranteed the seventh year, which is something Boston wouldn't do, and they guaranteed me they gave me a no trade clause, which was at that point in my life was the one thing that did. The money was about the same. I want to say it was a little bit better in Boston, actually, but no security. It's the NL East. You're up against the titans of the sport. And at the end of the day, the big sell was for me was this was a family play. This was something I could come in and be part of something that changed the culture, changed the sport of baseball in Washington, D.C., be part of a winning franchise, help turn the Nats into a winning franchise. Tons of young talent, more of a mentor situation for me. Guys like Bryce Harper and Strauss was just coming off Tommy John. But I mean, there was a lot of upside with the Nats that really wasn't there with Boston. It was a lot of stress. And then that group that in Boston that they brought in. Carl Crawford was kind of my comp that year, and I signed before him. He went to Boston, and you saw how it went for him in Boston. And I know I made the right decision, and coming to Washington to be part of something unbelievable. We turned the tide, and Mike was a big part of that. He was instrumental in making the changes to the organization that needed to happen to become a winning franchise. And to his credit, some of the stuff that he did, some of the levers that he pulled along the way were tough decisions. I think he probably learns as well. They had hard decisions to make, but I mean, at the end of the day, like that was an unbelievable run. And to win a World Series in 2019 was kind of the culmination of that. Now, since then, I've kind of been doing my own thing. I don't really know the ins and outs and how we got here or, what decisions were made to ultimately land on these times, I guess. But, I feel like I'm a Washington National for life.
Jason Wirth on Grant and Danny. There is a perception, that the acquisition of you back then, and you just kind of went through the negotiation, they paid a loser tax basically, right? They've got to give you the extra year or the no trade because they're trying to prove to you they had proven to nobody at that point they're serious. Like they're not Boston. There's not banners everywhere. So they've got to do that. And then you come in, and the way it's always been told to me is that behind the scenes, everything from what food they're serving to being angry about Teddy losing all the time, like you're trying to show them this is not how it's done in winning places. This is not a culture that can ever allow us to thrive. And there's this perception now that maybe they're missing something like that. Like they need to go get, whether it's a player coming from a market like Philly or not, this worthy an influence for this next iteration with a really young team and a bunch of guys that don't really know and behind the scenes, on the club, on the field, like what it is like to win and what those other buildings are like. We had Jeff Passan on the show yesterday from ESPN, and he talked about, his big question for them is how self-aware are they of like how they run things compared to how everybody else runs things. Can you go back to that part of it and just trying to almost teach the people around you in some way? Like, this is how we do it, but it's not how we should be doing it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I see is, it's like this horse racing thing has really opened my eyes to, different side of sports, like more of an owner. Each horse is its own franchise in a sense, so you get – you're kind of looking at things a little differently. I was the horse, right? Now I'm the owner. So I see things through a different lens at times. I mean, I still see, if I did it for so long, but there was a lot of that, like let's, we had, We hit practice balls for batting practice. I think we were the only team in the league that hit practice balls. You know, it's like the food wasn't great, the travel was okay, and you know we changed all that. We changed the culture of the Washington Nationals, and ultimately, you know, that led to a lot of fruitful seasons. I mean, I think we were the best team in the National League when I was there. And then, you know, take out 2018, and then you know 2019, you win a World Series. So, you know, I think they did the right things. But I, you know, that's kind of the state of baseball. People ask me like, would you want to manage? Would you want to, you know, oh, the GM job's open in DC. Like, I mean, I like what I'm doing now. I think it's I think it's a lot of fun. I don't work for anybody. But I do see the side of it, like, you know, in horse racing, where if your horses don't run or they don't win or they're not any good, well, I mean, you kind of go broke. In baseball, that's not really the case, right? You can kind of, you know, there's no incentives. You know, it's not an incentive-based sport anymore. So there's that. It's just they run it as a business as such. So I don't know what, like, the ins and outs on that side from that. But I do see things a little differently now that I'm you know, kind of managing my own sports franchise myself.
Yeah, which is something people can look into. And we've talked to you, the Icon Racing team that you've got. You've had multiple races now in the Derby, and you've got your podcast with Sean Keller that I listen to off the rails. It's so good. Jason Wirth is with us on Grant and Danny.
You do listen, see?
I told you I listened. You guys have had some – anytime you get an old school Nats guest on and you guys start sharing stories – that's catnip for me. I mean, that's the best.
Well, we got some good stuff. I think we're gonna keep building on it, see where it goes. But you know, now I'm media now, so we're like, you know, we're on the same page.
Yeah, you're a credentialed media member. Well, and media now you
guy.
Just exactly now you just have to stop working out and shuffle along like the rest of us. You were talking about some of the things behind the scenes, you know, the little observation, like we wouldn't even notice, the practice balls thing. There was this story this past week that came out, and we talk about this on the outside about how big of a deal this stuff is, and we really don't know. But the Nats don't have this. I'll just give you the backstory really quickly. There's this state-of-the-art hitting machine that teams have been using for 5 years. The Nats are one of the only teams that doesn't have it. And basically, it's something like I've used at Funland times 1 million. Where, like, there's, like, a digital pitcher that you're watching, and then you're able to program with pitch shape and velocities every pitch he throws. So you can literally take an at-bat against a guy with timing before you actually do it. And, like, all the other teams are now using this thing that the Nats don't have that Rizzo said this week they'll be getting. But I guess in that case, I just use this as a way to ask. When you are using those types of baseballs, like, someone could say, well, why does that matter? Who really cares? Like, how big of a deal is that stuff, and in what ways does it present itself as an issue in the clubhouse or with players?
Yeah, some of this stuff, and I this is the first year that I've been interested in getting back into the game. I went to spring training, and I started asking some questions, and you know the game has changed a lot in a short period of time. Now you have all these, you know, nuanced philosophies and theories and on hitting and pitching for that matter. You have all these different machines. I mean, guys don't even throw batting practice anymore. They hit off a wheel machine. I've seen that, and maybe it's gotten better, but I was kind of like at the end of my career and I was somewhere and they had the prototype for that machine you're talking about. And I hated it. Like I thought it was terrible. So I don't think it's not a cookie cutter thing. Like some guys like wheel machines. Some guys like Iron Mike. Some guys want to hit off the tee. So it's more out of necessity, really. Like, what do your players want? And I think that's the one thing that the Nats, you know, to the learner's credit, that's the one thing that they did really well when I was there. You know, it took some time to get you know, Teddy across the finish line, but you know what do the players want? What do they need? What do we need to be successful? And I think that's, you know, to the family's credit, to Mike Rizzo's credit, they really, you know, went the extra mile to give us, you know, everything we need. And I know it sounds like, oh, you spoiled professional athletes, you know, you guys get whatever you want. But I mean, the reality is, like, fans want winning teams. Fans want a good product, right? They want to go there and they want to cheer their team on. They don't want to finish last, you know. So I think there's part of this where, you know, and it's not easy either. You can't. There's a business model. I can't go buy $1 million horses, you know, a year in, year out, and expect to win the Kentucky Derby. It's just, you know, I'm not one of the sheiks from Dubai. You know, it's just not in the cards for me. So you gotta do what's right for your bottom line. But I think you gotta give the guys what they want. You gotta give them every chance to succeed. I think when we were going through this, you know, early on, I even asked, and this was before I knew anything about horse racing. I said the comment to Mr. Lerner, I said, do you own racehorses? You know, and he said no, and I was kind of hoping he did. But and I said, well, if you did, you can imagine, you wouldn't stop at McDonald's on the way to a race and expect the team to win, right? Like you'd give that horse the best food, the best training, the best staff, the best therapy, and give him the chance to win. And they did that. So I do think that there's part of that where you want to cater to the player, but you also have the bottom line stuff as an ownership group to do what's right. But I mean, for the most part, I mean, when I was there, they bent over backwards for us. They turned the franchise into a winning team. You won a World Series in 19 to their credit. All the stuff that's going on now that went down recently. I mean, I've got no, you know, intricate details. I'm not really a part of the organization per se. I'm always a Washington National, always be there if needed. And really I'd like to be more involved going forward. I was talking to Riz about that. Unfortunately, you know, he's moving on, but that's just, you know, that's part of life.
Give me a time where it wasn't rosy. Like, I know we know about the Matt Williams stories and some things like that, which you've told us and you've been out front about on your podcast and different places. But dealing with ownership, where it's like you're trying to make them see something and maybe they didn't. Just because that's the rep, Jason, is they do things their way. And the story you're telling kind of, you know, paints a different picture, which is awesome. But that's sort of their rep baseball-wide and business-wide, is the way they do it is the way they do it. Doesn't matter if you don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm you know, I'm kind of that way too. I'm kind of like in that same boat. That's why I like horse racing so much. Cause it's, you know, I call the shots. I do it the way I want to. If you don't like it, I don't care. Obviously that with Icon Racing, it's a partnership and we have, you know, it's more of a democracy. It's kind of like democratizing horse racing in a way you can get in and be part of it. Everybody's got a vote. But that's Icon. The other side of it, the 2-8 racing side of it, you know, that's where I get to be the, you know, the owner. So, I mean, I get that. I think that, you know, I maintain that the whole Teddy Roosevelt thing was just was ridiculous. It took us a while to get.
So that's
there
true, Jason. That story that you basically were miffed beyond like belief on that and fought to have him win. That's legit.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was the whole culture of the team at the time. Like, just, you know, losing was okay. Celebrate a president that was, you know, whether you like his politics or not, was, you know, he was the president of the United States. Like, to celebrate him, you know, him losing was just all part of the whole thing to me. Like, why are we celebrating losing? We got to turn the corner. And it took that first year was tough. You know, Davey came on and like in 11, you know, we turned it around in 12. So that was, but it was, you know, I think those instrumental changes at the ownership level, they think about things, and it takes a little time for them to make the decisions maybe. But I don't know. You know what? Like to get back into that sport for me, and to have to deal with media and people sitting there second guessing and you know, all the stuff that goes into it, it's just crazy. I went through that life. I've moved on. I don't think that's something I want to get into. But that's the thing. Like, you know, people sit there and they complain about the teams. You know, they complain about what the owners are doing. Like, I mean, that's baseball. That's, you know, you want to be part of something where you can call the shots. Like, give me a shout. IconRacing.com. You can come be part of Icon. You can you can have your own sports franchise, and you can fire your trainer, you can fire your jockey, you can do whatever you want, it can be yours. You know what I mean? The rest of the time, it's kind of tough to go buy a baseball team and be an owner. So I see both sides of it. You know, it's not easy being a manager. A big league manager is it's one of the most thankless jobs. I did see the thing recently where Davey said it was on the coaches or something. And
yeah, I want to get into that with you actually next. And we got Jason Wirth with us. Let's do that next,
right?
J-Dub. Continuing to discuss the dismissal of Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez by the Nationals. We'll talk with former general manager Steve Phillips and MLB Network's Brian Kenny on the show today, among others. Also, the Commanders are just a few weeks away from training camp, and Terry McLaurin does not have a deal yet. We'll get to the bottom of exactly what's going on with the wide receiver in Washington. But on the Rude Guest Hotline right now, our guy Jason Wirth, who is playing in a pretty significant golf tourney this weekend we can discuss. But J-Dub, right before we took a little respite there, because alas, we've got breaks on terrestrial radio, unlike your pod with Sean Kelly, where you just let your hair down as long as you need to. You had brought up the Davey Martinez comments of a few weeks ago, which felt like kind of the beginning of the end in terms of, you know, the coverage of him. It changed. Talking to some players in the clubhouse, they didn't love it. What did you make of his comments?
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When he said it's never on the coaches.
Well, I mean, you got to know. I don't know what was going through his mind. What was, you know, what was going on behind the scenes? You know, it might have had, you know, something to do with something unrelated. Obviously, it caused a. Well, some backlash, and you know, I can imagine some of the players didn't like it, but there could have been ulterior motives. You know, I hadn't talked to him about it, so I think as a manager, your job is to, you know, that's what I was getting at. You know, it's a very thankless job. Like it's like being a catcher. You know, it's like a pitcher throws a great game. It's a pitcher great. If he gives up a home run, you put down the wrong sign. You know, it's kind of along those lines. It's not as glamorous as everybody thinks. It kind of sucks. So I don't know what was going through his head at the time and what he had going on. He could have had, you know, ulterior motives. Maybe he was trying to get the team to make a big trade before the deadline or, you know, I don't know. Who knows what type of conversations they've had. It's kind of to my point, like I was saying before, it's like the expectations are expectations. If you expect to lose, it's like the Teddy Roosevelt thing, you know, it's like we're going to celebrate losing and we're going to try to win. So I don't know. I don't know where his head's at, where the team's head's at. Obviously, the time has come to go a different direction. And, you know, those are things that I currently don't have to worry about.
Here's something, Jason, that I can't get over with this whole process, right? You were on, I mean, you played in big leagues a long time, a decade and a half, right? Really, really good career, obviously. You were on good teams, bad teams, and everything in between. When something's going...
Not many bad teams.
Not many?
Not many.
Fair enough. And so, but you were on the bigs enough to know that bad teams exist, right? You've seen that, okay?
Yeah.
Here's what I can't get over. While the bad thing is happening, they're losing 11 straight, really, really struggling, no changes are made at all. Like, I'm like the third base coach that's gotten a million guys thrown out doesn't have to, like, take a couple of games off. Or Gerardo Parra's over there at first. I'm not saying any of these things are his fault, but a millionth guy gets picked off. Maybe swap them out. Or somebody do something at some point. No one lifts a finger. Everybody comes on and says, nope, we're staying the course. And then the two big decision makers get fired. That part of the process, to me, is just kind of stunning with all this, that nobody pulled the lever. Nobody tried to do one thing and replace a coach somewhere just to say, hey, look, we're trying. It just sort of was like, we're just going to run this into the mountain and see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, people call me and want my opinion. And I was like, kind of, it's more of a shoulder shrug. Like, I don't know. Like, typically, it's your pitching coach, your hitting coach, or, you know, make a move, whatever. But, and Davey, I was like, oh, well, there you go. There's their move. So, like I said, I think they think about things in their own way. They have their, look, they're successful people, whether you like their decisions or not. So when I saw that with Mike and Davey, I was kind of like, okay, well, there you have it. So, you got, like I said, if you don't like it, get your own team.
I had a couple of billion dollars.
I would do it.
By the way, they wouldn't sell it to me because they're not willing to sell it right now.
Well, I mean, they bought it first. So
that's true.
But that's my point with this horse racing thing. Anybody can own horse races, obviously, racehorses. Obviously, it is a money game. You want to buy the best horses and play at the highest level, it's expensive. But Icon Racing is a breakdown to barriers into the sport. You got My Racehorse where you can buy fractional ownership. It's just a very underrated sport. And, it's an alternative to baseball. This time of year, there's not a whole lot else going. You got baseball, horse racing, and Tres Leches.
What was the third one?
Three Milks.
Tres Leches, the girls over there in Indiana, WNBA.
Oh, the WNBA is ongoing right now. You've got
there's not much else going on. Is my point.
Yeah. Well, it's a light time for sports, no doubt. All right. Last thing before we let you go, Jason Wirth is with us on Grant and Danny. Which would be, what would you say in the clubhouse? What would you say to, if you're taking over, you're Miguel Cairo, you're addressing the team, how do you kind of send a message? You were just Davey's guy for this long period of time, yet you're going to try to separate yourself a little bit and do something different, I guess. What is that like in the early days?
My dog's escaped. Say, what's the question again? You were wondering what I would say to the team, don't you, Seth?
Yeah, like if you're taking over as an interim manager, it's not like you're coming in from outside, though. You've been on the bench with Davey already. So what does that look like?
Well, I don't know. For me, I didn't play on too many bad teams, And like in 2011, that was the whole point. Let's change the culture. This is on the players. I think to Davey's point, maybe like you guys got to show up and win the games. I mean, the coaches, the managers, everybody else, they can only do so much. These guys are gonna have to show up, take ownership, and ball out and start winning baseball games. I mean, at some point, the managers, the coaches, they take responsibility for the losses, and you know, after a while, if I was Miguel Cairo, I'd go over there like, look, like, you know, I don't know what you guys are, what you're here for, but last time I checked, if you don't win, you typically don't stay around. So that was my point to those guys when I talked in spring training. You got an opportunity, you know, and they don't come along in sports. They definitely don't come along in baseball. You got, you know, some guys aren't going anywhere, you know. James Wood's not going anywhere, you know, some of these guys. But the rest of these guys, I mean, everybody's replaceable. And I think, you know, if I was Miguel Cairo, I'd walk in there and be like, look, it's time to go. Like, you know, we can sit here and, you know, play the marketing game. We can, you know, do TikTok dances and you know, you can come on my podcast, Off the Rail Podcast. Me and Sean Kelly, we have a good time. But, I mean, you know, I said that. I didn't play on bad teams. I mean, I really didn't.
It's true.
You know, the 2011 team was coming off 200-loss season. We played 500 ball. That was a win. You know, we were the best team in baseball in 12. You know, we didn't play good in 13. That wasn't a bad team. We were right there. I think we ran second. We ran out of pitching late in the year, but more hitting, however you want to look at it. But I mean, I we had expectations to win every year. I think at some point the expectation needs to be that we're here to win. And you know, when I went to Washington, that's what I was all about. When I was in Philadelphia, that's what I was all about. When I played in LA as a rookie, as a young kid, like, that's what it was all about. Like, the only bad team I played on was the 05 team in LA, and we had Jeff Kent and JD Drew, and we were supposed to win the World Series, and we sucked. So, you know, I think the expectations need to be that we're here to win. If we're not going to win, then you're not going to be here. I stand by it. I live by it. And, you know, you say whatever you want about my time in Washington. Sure, we didn't get through the first round ever. It's not easy. Nothing's guaranteed when you get into the playoffs. But, you know, we were there. You know, we should have been there a couple more times. We never got through the first round, but by God, we were the best team in the National League.
Jason, awesome with us, buddy, as always, man. Appreciate the time, and have a good week.
All right, guys, take it easy.
We'll see you, buddy.
Yeah, go hit him good. He's playing in the American Century Championship, Danny, by the way. He's about to go play in one of the great pro-ams and one of those really cool tournaments all the celebs take part in.
Oh, that's neat.
So good for him.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.